and smiling. "I love this place," I told him. "And this table? If I could bring a book and have them serve me tea all day, I'd never leave. Especially in winter when the sun comes through the window." He smiled. The eye-crinkling kind of smile. And I was again struck by how good-looking he was. His sandy blonde hair was cut short and brushed to the side, but still a bit spiky. He was clean-shaven and smelled really freaking good. Like soap, deodorant, and man. He had that clean-cut all-American guy thing down pat. I tried to imagine him wearing something more my style, or anything different than the Argyle sweater and dress pants, for that matter, but couldn't. It suited him so perfectly. If there was a magazine called Sexy Nerds, he'd be on the cover. The owner, an older motherly woman by the name of Zineb, came over and gave me a smile.
"Spencer, not seen you in a while."
"I know. I've been busy this week," I told her. "But my friend here has never had Moroccan. What do you think he should try?"
"Hops, bishahma, with lemon peppers,"
she said.
"Made fresh this morning, and salmon, because it's your favorite."
I grinned at her. "As always. With your fig and honey jam, please." She rolled her eyes.
"Of course. Tea?"
"For me, yes, please." I waved my hand at Andrew, who was watching on amused. "And a latte with 2%, no sugar or syrups. Thank you." I requested his order exactly how he told me he liked it. Zineb left us and started hollering Arabic at her husband. God, I love this place. "You remembered," Andrew said, "how I take my coffee." "Sure," I replied. Jeez, it was like no one had ever done such a simple thing for him. "It's my job to remember everything about you." "Yeah, of course," he said, suddenly finding the menu interesting. "And that reminds me," I added, "I need that favorite song." "Well, you see, it's not quite that simple." "Yes, it is." "Then what's your one favorite song, above all others?" "Jeff Buckley's cover of Hallelujah." He blinked. "Just like that." "Just like that." "It's a good song." "It's the perfect song," I amended. "I like Leonard Cohen's version, don't get me wrong, but Jeff Buckley's version is, well, it's perfect." "Perfect? That's a pretty big call." He frowned. "The perfect song? How do you define the perfect song?" I found myself smiling at him. "Don't overthink it. That's how. Discard all the technical crap, the parameters, the chords, whatever. Go by feel. How it feels in here." I pressed my hand against my breastbone. "That song will stop me wherever I am." He was staring at me with a hint of a smile on his lips, but there was an understanding, an unspoken agreement in his eyes. "Well, if that's how you determine the perfect song, then I'd have to say Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata." He swallowed hard, then shrugged, like he was sorry. "It's not cool or anything like that, but it's a beautiful song. Well, technically it's not even a song. It's a musical composition. Technicalities aside, don't apologize," I said. "Ever. If you love it, then own it. Repeat after me." He stared, waiting. So I said, "My favorite song is the musical composition Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata because it's fucking awesome." He laughed and looked around to see who might have heard me swear, "Say it," I urged him. He cleared his throat and spoke softly. "My favorite song is Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata because it's fucking awesome." I grinned at him. "See? Isn't that much better?" He chuckled, just as Zineb brought our drinks. She looked at me expectantly.
"So?" she said. "Who is your friend?"
Andrew stared up at her and froze, and I made introductions. "This is Andrew. Andrew, this is Zineb, maker of the finest green tea in L.A. She beamed.
"You like Moroccan green tea," she said to Andrew. "Not many people do. Buy him this, you'll win his heart."
I snorted, and Andrew almost swallowed his tongue.
"Food won't be long,"
she added before walking off, seemingly oblivious to the look of horror on Andrew's face. "She thinks we're..." I nodded. "Better get used to it," I said, turning my cup of tea. "We need the public to think we are dating. Especially Eli." Andrew's brow knitted together, but he nodded. "Yeah, I guess." "I'm not that scary, am I?" I asked, half joking, half not. "What? No," he said vehemently. "You're just... you know." No, I don't know." This could end badly. I almost didn't want to ask. "Is that a good you know or a bad you know?" "Good," he said quickly. A faint blush crept up his neck. "It's just that you're all... trendy?" He cringed at the word. "And I'm not." "Well, excuse me, Mr. A Clockwork Orange and Moonlight Sonata lover," I said with a smile. "That's pretty damn cool." He shook his head, dismissing me entirely. "But look at how you dress." I looked at what I was wearing. My three-quarter tan dress pants, white button-down shirt, and blue suede oxfords. "Is there something wrong with the way I dress?" I asked. I'd never had anyone not like the way I dressed. I was going to wear my suspenders, but didn't. He shook his head. "There's nothing wrong with it. And I happen to like suspenders on you. You look like you're straight out of the pages of trendy L.A. I snorted. "You do the magazine thing too?" I asked. "I had you from Sexy Nerd," I admitted. He let out a disbelieving laugh. "But I had you on the cover, not just some page four random like you had me." "Oh no, I had you on the cover, my friend." He laughed quietly and sipped his coffee. "Okay, I'll concede you a cover shot." I grinned at him. "Thanks." "Sexy Nerd," he repeated softly, shaking his head. "You're delusional." "I do believe you fit both categories," I said, turning my cup of tea. "And fit them well, I might add. I like how you dress." He blushed again. Even the tips of his ears turned pink. I stuck my foot out. "Anyway, I love these shoes. I paid a fortune for them." "I can tell," he said, admiring my loafers. I held out my arms where ink covered every part of my skin from my rolled-up shirt sleeve to my wrists. "Do you not like my tattoos?" He froze again. But before he could answer, Zineb brought our food over.
"You boys share?"
she asked. "Yes, please," I said, making room on the table. "We'll have a bit of both." Zineb put the foot down, sorted out plates and cutlery, and left us to it. "Try the savory first," I told him. "It's so good. It's spiced lamb with Mediterranean vegetables done in a flatbread. And the mesemen are like pancakes. Zineb's husband makes this fig and honey jam. It's divine. He took a forkful of the cob's bechama and moaned. It was a throaty sound that made my skin tingle. He swallowed it down. Okay, wow. I laughed, trying to ignore my reaction to him. It's good, yes? He nodded and continued to eat. In between mouthfuls, he asked, So my turn to ask questions? Shit. I nodded. Yep. What part of Australia are you from?
Sydney.
And you've been here 2 years. I nodded, washing food down with a sip of tea.
Yep.
Why did you leave? I considered how to best answer. I didn't need to go dredging up family history for a guy who, in all likelihood, I'd know for a month and never see again. So I decided answering diplomatically. I hated my job and wanted to travel. Airfares to LA were on sale, so I packed a bag and here I am. He seemed to process that for a while. Whether he believed me or not, I had no clue. But it seemed he did.
Family?
Jesus. Okay, so maybe he didn't. I needed to work on my ability to lie.
Parents, still married. Two brothers, both younger than me.
They didn't mind you moving to the other side of the world?
Nope.
Have they visited you here?
He pressed.
Or have you been back since?
I had a mouthful of food, so it wasn't like I could have spoken, even if I wanted to. I couldn't tell the truth on this one. I shook my head.
Do you miss them?
Yes.
It came out a little quicker than I'd meant. He nodded, more to himself than to me, and I knew right then he saw straight through me. Thankfully, he didn't push, and he changed the subject.
Favorite food?
You're eating it.
Least favorite?
Shellfish. I'm allergic.
His fork stopped halfway to his mouth.
Seriously? I pulled an EpiPen from my pocket and held it up for him to see.
Very. I usually carry one of these with me if I'm eating out somewhere new. And as a general rule, I don't eat anything that comes out of the water.
Then, as a joke, I added, unless he showers first.
Andrew laughed at that.
So no seafood. I shook my head and pocketed the EpiPen.
Nope. To be safe, I don't eat anything that comes out of the water, like fish, even though it's technically not shellfish. I also don't eat many Asian foods because they use fish sauce as a base for a lot of meals. I have to ask a lot of restaurants before I can eat there, but some don't get it. Like Thai beef salad. You'd think it was okay because it's beef and salad, but it has fish sauce in the dressing. But even the guys I work with, like faux dating, I motion between us. I have to ask them not to eat anything that might be contaminated as well. Because if we need to make out and he's just eaten lobster, me going into anaphylactic shock in front of his ex doesn't look good.
He looked shocked. Has that ever happened?
I gave him a smile.
No. He made a thoughtful face and he put his fork on his empty plate. Do you have to make out with all your clients?
Are you asking if we have to kiss?
He nodded.
If it'll get Eli's attention, then yes. If it'll make him want to throw you over his shoulder and take you back to his cave and make you his again, then yes.
I'll let him think about that for a moment. No doubt that visual was playing over in his mind.
I promise I have excellent dental hygiene, extra soft lips, and only give tongue if it's warranted.
He did that barked-out laugh again, and blushed. God, he was too easy. Right. I swapped the plates over and served up the pancakes and put the jam on the side for him to taste. It also gave him some time to compose himself. So, I was thinking this afternoon we could go over Eli's schedules, if that's okay with you. Oh, he swallowed hard. Sure, I guess. We can do some sleuthing, I explained. Stalk his Facebook, see where he's been, that kind of thing. He nodded thoughtfully. Okay. Do you know where he's been living? He frowned, then shook his head. No. Where does he work? Downtown. What does he do? He works at a printing press on Wilshire. That wasn't too far. Hobbies? Gym? Favorite bars? He has a membership at the same gym as me, but I haven't seen him there since, Andrew said. We went to a few bars in Echo Park, though they weren't really my scene. What's your scene? He cleared his throat. There's a jazz bar not far from his work. The food's great. The music is incredible. You like jazz? He nodded. Love it. Then he innocently took a mouthful of the Moroccan pancakes with fig and honey jam, and he moaned. A deep, throaty, delicious sound that sent shivers over my skin and a pleasant ache straight to my dick. Oh, my God, he murmured. I was staring at him. That sound, Jesus. If he moaned like that over food, I'd love to hear him in bed. What? He said, snapping me out of my lust days. Shit. I got caught gawking. I shifted in my seat, trying to quell the desire that was filling my cock, and cleared my throat. The pancakes are good, yes? He nodded. So good. He took another mouthful, and this time he sighed instead of moaned. I was almost disappointed. Zineb appeared at the table with a knowing smile.
He like the conserve, yes?
She asked and nudged me with her elbow.
Unless he make that sound for you. You like it, Spencer? I can tell.
Andrew almost dropped his fork, but it was me who was embarrassed. I felt a heat rush over my cheeks and laughed to hide it. But I was blushing. Jesus Christ, I wanted to die. Andrew's shock turned to embarrassment, though he didn't go as red as me, I'm sure of it. Was I loud? I scoffed. Yeah. Oh. He said softly. He wasn't laughing. He looked up at Zineb. I apologize. She just picked up the empty plate from the table and laughed it off.
No being sorry. Spencer, you liked it.
She patted my shoulder and walked back to the counter, and a whole new level of embarrassment washed over me. I'm really embarrassed. He whispered. Shit. I reached over and grabbed his hand and gave it a squeeze. I didn't let it go. Don't be. It's my fault. I shouldn't have... I shook my head. Want to get out of here? He nodded, so, still holding his hand, I stood up and walked over to the counter. I only dropped his hand so I could pay the bill. I gave Zineb my card, praying like hell she wouldn't embarrass me further. No such luck. She smiled sweetly at me.
It makes me so happy to see Spencer, finally with a man who makes him smile.
I considered praying to the earthquake gods to give the San Andreas a nudge so the ground would split open and swallow me whole. Instead, I stood there like an idiot, turned a darker shade of pink, and mumbled, "Thank you, Zineb, for not embarrassing me at all today." She handed me back my bank card, looking confused.
"What? You not love this boy?"
I shook my head and swallowed the lump in my throat, which could have possibly been my heart. "Thanks, Zineb. We'll see you next time, okay?" She looked even more confused.
"But, Spencer, you don't look at the other boys like you look at this one."
Needing to not be in the firing line of Zineb's embarrassing untruths for 1 second longer, I grabbed Andrew's hand and all but dragged him out of the cafe, waving Zineb off as I went. As soon as I was a good 20 meters up the street, I dropped his hand so I could put both hands on my knees and catch my breath. Andrew surprised me by laughing. I would have expected a list of reactions from anger to embarrassment, even outrage. But laughing? I looked up at him. "What's so funny?" "You," he answered. "The look on your face. She embarrassed the hell out of me. She embarrassed you. She made a point of telling the whole cafe I make noises that you like. Well, your sex sounds are fucking hot, I must say." His eyes popped and his mouth fell open. "My what?" Now it was my turn to laugh. I stood up straight. "Never mind. Let's just agree to forget everything she said." He stared at me. "My sex sounds?" "The way you moaned," I explained, needing to clear my throat. "It was, sexy as hell." He folded his arms, then unfolded them, then shoved his hands into his pockets. He looked rather pissed off, but the burning blush that crept up his neck gave him away. "Well, do you make a habit of saying inappropriate things?" "Only when guys make inappropriate noises that make me think dirty thoughts, which leads me to saying such things out loud." I shrugged. "And anyway, it wasn't inappropriate of me to speak the truth. The noise you made was hot." He covered his eyes with his hand. "Oh, God." Then his hand fell away and he stared at me. "I can't believe you just said that."
"I can't believe you don't already know that," I replied. "Has no one ever told you?"
He looked kind of horrified. "We're not having this conversation. I call veto." I laughed and nodded back toward the tattoo shop. "Come on. We've got super sleuthing to do on this fella of yours." The shop was open, so I held the door for Andrew. "After you." He stepped inside and shoved his hands in his pockets, a sure sign he was nervous or unsure. Emilio was at his workstation, and a familiar face was in the chair with his chest exposed, having his skin inked.
"Hey, Spencer,"
Eric said, extending his arm. I bumped my fist to his.
"Hey, man."
Eric was a regular here. I had a closer look at his ever-growing chess piece.
"Looking good."
Emilio didn't look up from his work when he said,
"Hey, Spence, can you grab me some alcohol swabs?"
"Sure thing," I said, going straight to the cabinet he kept them in. I put the box on his trolley beside his arm. "Lola and Gabe still here?"
"Yep,"
came Lola's reply.
"Stall 2.
I nodded to Andrew, a silent invitation for him to follow me, and led him to the back of the shop to the private cubicles. The curtain was slightly open, so I stuck my head in. Gabe was lying on the table and Lola and Daniela were standing over him, inspecting his clamped nipple.
"Hey," I said with a laugh. "Do I even want to know?"
Gabe rolled his eyes.
"Lola wants to pierce my nipples."
I walked in and Andrew stood at the door with a look on his face that was a mix of shock and morbid curiosity. I peeked over Lola's shoulder at Gabe's stretched and clamped nipple. It wasn't pierced yet, but Lola was holding the piercing needle. "You're gonna do it?" I asked. She nodded excitedly.
"Daniela is supervising, but yeah, I get to pierce his skin and leave this pretty little barbell in its place."
Daniela was the resident body piercer and would have made sure everything was perfect. Gabe sighed. "I'm starting to think my girlfriend has a pain kink." I snorted. "Only if it's your pain, my friend."
"Do you want yours done?"
Daniela asked. I instinctively put my hands over my nipples. "No."
"It's more pleasure than pain,"
Daniela said, waggling her eyebrows.
"Believe me."
"What about a Prince Albert?"
Lola asked. My dick retracted into its body. "Jesus, no." After she stopped laughing, Lola looked at Andrew.
"How was breakfast?"
Andrew smiled at her. "Good. We had Moroccan. Apparently I make sex sounds and Zainab said Spencer's in love with me." Everyone stared at him for a full 3 seconds of stunned silence before I burst out laughing. I couldn't believe he just said that.
"You weren't supposed to tell them that."
Andrew chuckled and looked at my friends.
"You should have seen him blush."
I looked straight at Lola. "He's lying. He has compulsive lying disorder and he makes shit up all the time." Andrew laughed, but when Lola, Daniela and Gabe all turned to look at him, he just slowly shook his head. It was the truth. "Okay," I said, clapping my hands together. "On that note, we'll be going." I tried to usher Andrew out the door, but he looked around me to Gabe's stretched nipple and frowned.
"That looks painful."
Lola held up the piercing cannula and batted her eyelashes.
"It only hurts until the pain goes away."
This time I grabbed Andrew's arm and pulled him with me toward the back door of the shop. "Is she really going to pierce his nipple?" I put my hand on the lock, and before I could pull the door open, Gabe's cry rang out from cubicle 2.
"Oh! Jesus H. Christ!"
Andrew's mouth fell open, and I nodded. "That would be a yes," I said. Andrew paled a little, so I opened the door for him. "After you." Chapter 4. I pulled the door shut behind me and headed up the external stairs that led to my place. I was used to the fire escape stairs. Most people probably thought it was a piss-poor entrance to someone's apartment, but it worked for me. I started up the stairs and heard Andrew climb up behind me. "It's okay if you want to check out my ass." He stopped. "Do you say that to all the guys you bring up here?" I laughed and looked back down at him. "Only the really hot ones." He shook his head and didn't say anything else until I'd unlocked my door and walked inside my place. The truth was, I didn't bring any of my clients up here. I usually opted to do the whole getting acquainted thing in a cafe or at their place. It put a buffer between my personal and professional life. I didn't know why I'd offered to bring Andrew into my home. I just didn't know. My flat, or apartment, as the Americans called it, was a small one-bedroom place. But the kitchen and bathroom were good. The combined living and dining area was long, and a huge window framed the far wall out onto Abbot Kinney Boulevard. When the sun went down, the nightlife of L.A. lit up my living room, and during the day the sunlight was perfect for reading, which was why there was a big papasan chair in front of the window. Near the window I had makeshift bookcases filled with mostly second-hand books. Actually, most things in my place were second-hand. scored from thrift stores or vintage markets. But somehow, when all put together, it worked. "Nice place," he said, looking around. He nodded. If there was a magazine called Retro Vintage Bachelor Living, this would be on the cover. I laughed. Emilio and Daniela used to live here, I told him. They renovated the kitchen and bathroom while they were here, so it's pretty good. They moved out when Daniela's mum got sick. They wanted her to live with them, but she couldn't manage the stairs. Andrew nodded. They seem like nice people. He said it like it was a question. I stared at him for a long moment. Even though they're covered in tattoos? His eyes shot to mine. No, that's not what I said. I said they seem like nice people, given I've met them for a whole 20 seconds. You won't find more decent people, I told him. Regardless of what they wear on their skin. I don't have anything against tattoos, he said. Or the people that have them. Good, I said. Because you and Emilio would get on really well. You're both artists. You both draw for a living. Only your drawing board doesn't move or bleed. He conceded with a smile. True. I was glad the tension was gone. I didn't want to have to give him the people with tattoos are people too speech. He didn't seem like the kind of guy who would be prejudiced against anyone for anything. Not that I knew him that well, but he seemed genuine. And it had been a while since I'd worked with someone who was. In the short silence between us, he walked directly over to the vinyl record player. It was in a big wooden cabinet with a hinged lid that opened up to where the turntable was. My grandparents had one of these, he said. He was smiling again. Does it work? I walked over to it and stood beside him. I nodded to the vinyl record covers on the bookcase. Yep. What have you got? He asked, though he didn't wait for an answer. He simply helped himself to look. He flipped through them, considering each one. Rather eclectic collection. Yeah, I agreed. Everything from the Ramones to Billie Holiday. He stopped flipping and slowly pulled out the record that had made him stop. Can I play this? I nodded and smiled when I saw which one it was. It was a compilation of blues and jazz. Otis Redding, Bill Withers, Percy Sledge, Miles Davis, and Aretha Franklin. Andrew slid the record out of the cover like it was the most precious thing in the world, then carefully put the needle on the vinyl. The room filled with that familiar, perfect crackle that only vinyl gave, and Ain't No Sunshine started to play. Andrew closed his eyes, lost in the music, and a slow smile spread across his face. He whispered, "It's incredible. So much is lost with modern music," I said quietly. He looked at me then, so I explained. "I mean, I like contemporary music, but this?" I paused as Bill Withers sang, "This is classic." Andrew smiled at me, then shook his head disbelievingly. So you curl up in the sun with a book while you listen to vinyl records? Some days, I said. Some days I use my iPod and belt out the top 20. Depends what I'm in the mood for. What do your playlists look like? He asked, genuinely interested. I pulled out my phone, selected the music, and handed it to him. Have a look. I left him to it, walked over to my dining table and opened my laptop. He took his time, scrolling. I've not heard of half of these, he said, his brow furrowed. Most of them are Aussie bands. He made a thoughtful face.
I'll have to check him out when I get home.
You can listen to him now, if you want.
I'd prefer to listen to this. He smiled as Otis Redding started to sing. So, you play classical piano, but you like jazz?
Yes.
What sheet music is on your piano right now?
He grinned at me.
Yesterday's by Art Tatum?
I blinked.
Who?
Just the best jazz funk pianist to ever live.
So, wait, I said, putting my hands up. You learned classical, but you play jazz.
He nodded sheepishly.
And you said you weren't cool.
Or interesting.
Jesus, Andrew. If there was a magazine called Sexy and Cool Cartoonographers Who Play Jazz Funk Piano and Watch Stanley Kubrick Films, you'd be on the cover. Of every issue.
He laughed, long and loud, and his cheeks tinted pink. Then he slid my phone back across the table to me and sat down in the seat next to mine. I typed Eli's name into Facebook to see who or what came up. There were a few, so I scrolled down the list.
That's him, there, Andrew said. I let my finger hover over the icon.
Have you checked out his wall lately?
Andrew shook his head.
No.
I clicked on his picture and Andrew looked away from the screen.
Everything okay?
I asked him.
Yeah,
he said, looking at me but avoiding the laptop. I just don't want to see if he's
posted pictures of himself with someone else.
Andrew nodded. I hadn't thought about that until you asked me if he was seeing someone else.
Then he shook his head and narrowed his eyes.
And here I am trying to bait him into coming back to me.
Kind of sad, huh?
No, I said gently. Above all, you want answers. And that's what we're doing.
Getting answers.
Yep.
That I may or may not like to hear.
I sighed. It's a possibility, I told him.
You might not like what he has to say, but wouldn't you be better off knowing?
He nodded. I scrolled down Eli's timeline. He really should change his security settings. I could, as a complete stranger, see almost everything about him. Other people had tagged him in memes or jokes. He had made a few posts over the last few weeks.
He never mentioned moving out. Or your separation, I said. And only then did Andrew look at the screen.
But then, posted earlier in the week, he was tagged in a conversation about this weekend.
Who's Terry Santos?
Eli works with her. They're friends, though. We'd go out with her sometimes.
She says here they're going to the basement for her birthday drinks and asked him if he wanted to join them.
When?
Tonight, at 8.
What did he say?
He asked, as he leaned in to read the post and comments in question. I paraphrased Eli's reply. Said he doesn't want to be sick for work tomorrow, but he might call in for a few.
Andrew looked from the screen to me, and I realized how close we were. His blue eyes had flecks of grey in them, which I'd not noticed before. He was so good-looking. He smelled damn good, and he was so, so close.
What are you thinking?
He asked.
Shit!
About what?
Because what I was thinking about was sliding my hand along your jaw and kissing you. I bet you taste as good as you smell.
About Eli, of course.
Oh, right. Yes, of course.
I said, shaking my head at the stupid thoughts I just had.
We should go. You and me. To the basement. Tonight.
Oh. If we want Eli to see you on a date with another guy, then we need to actually go out. On a date. We know it's not real, but he won't. He seemed to think this over, as though he was wondering if he wanted to do this at all. Okay. Are you sure you want to do this? He looked at me with those soul-seeing blue-gray eyes. Well, yeah. He didn't sound very convinced, and I wasn't sure why that pleased me. We had hours before our first public outing in front of our intended target audience, but even so, we had some work to do. I wasn't sure which of us would struggle more. Normally, I could get close to my clients and not think anything of it. Andrew was different. I looked at my watch. Well, we have a while yet, but maybe we should practice a little. Practice? Yeah. I swallowed hard. You know, our story for the public. How we met, holding hands, that kind of thing. He blanched. Oh. I'm not that repulsive, am I? I half joked, half not. Andrew blushed. No. Definitely not. He stood up from the table and walked into my small kitchen. He leaned against the counter and folded his arms, then unfolded them as though it was a habit he was trying to break, then shoved his hands in his pockets instead. He cleared his throat and asked, "So, what do we tell people about how we met?" "Your sister and my best friend met at a wedding last weekend," I said. "Well, technically they did," he said, confused. "Exactly. It's best to stick to the truth as much as possible," I explained. "No way, if Eli runs into Sarah in the street or the store and puts her on the spot with questions, no one has to lie." "I really don't think he'll buy it," he said quietly. "This whole you and me thing."
"Why not?"
He stared at me like I'd missed the obvious.
"Don't start with that whole but look at me crap," I said with a smirk. "Unless you have a problem with tattoos and Eli knows that. Is that what you mean?" I showed him how my ink never went past my wrists. I had no tattoos on my hands or my neck, or my chest or back, for that matter. I was strictly a sleeves-only guy, because I can wear a long-sleeve shirt and he won't even be able to tell. Andrew shook his head. "No, don't change a thing," he said quietly. Then he shrugged one shoulder. "It's just the whole, you know, you're trendy and I'm not thing."
"Oh yeah, that's right," I said, standing up. "I'm just some random guy on page 4 of Gay and Trendy, and you're the cover model of cool." He laughed at that and shook his head at me.
"You know what I mean?"
"No, I don't. But you know what? It doesn't matter. If he is inclined to think us being together is out of character, then at least we know we have his attention." He considered this.
"True."
I stood up and walked to stand in front of him. I was closer than what would probably be considered polite, but that was my point. I held out my hand between us, palm up. He obviously didn't know what I meant, so I explained.
"Your hand?"
Slowly, he put his hand in mine. I held it, feeling the warmth and smooth skin of his palm, then traced my thumb over his knuckles. Then I held his hand in both of mine and gave it a squeeze.
"This okay?" I asked.
He nodded.
"So, when we're out together, if I grab your hand, you won't pull it away. He shook his head and he whispered, "No." I could feel his body heat. I could feel his nervousness. Or maybe it was mine. Either way, the air between us was electric. Sure, I'd been close with other clients. Held hands, danced, even kissed. But it was no more than acting. I was playing a role. No more, no less. So, why was I nervous? Maybe it had been too long between drinks, so to speak. Maybe I needed to go out and let loose. And maybe when this job was done, that's exactly what I'd do. I didn't know why Andrew was different. He was interesting, sure. He was smart and made me laugh. At first I thought he was just humble about his job and his musical talents, but the more I got to know him, the more I realized he wasn't humble at all. He was oblivious. I had to wonder what the fuck was wrong with Eli to want to walk away from him. It was then that I realized he was holding my hand as much as I was holding his. He didn't just let his hand sit limply in mine. He ran his thumb along the side of my hand and his fingers kind of gripped onto mine. It was comforting and warm, and above all, it just felt really nice. I swallowed down the unexpected lump in my throat. "And if we have to dance?" It took him a moment to answer. I wasn't sure if he was aware of the static between us or if it was just me. "Oh, I don't dance." "Okay, fair enough," I said. I was okay with that. Some people didn't like to dance, and that was fine. But what if there's loud music and I need to lean in close? I asked. My voice was husky from trying to whisper and getting all breathy instead. He blinked quickly and licked his bottom lip. We were still holding hands, so I took one hand each in mine and spread his arms out at the sides. I leaned in slow, feeling his warmth, but not quite touching. And ignoring how good he smelled, I put my lips to his ear. "This okay?" He nodded, and I'm pretty sure he didn't breathe. I pulled back so I could see his face, but still kept hold of his hands. "If he's watching us, I might lean in to talk in your ear, but it'll only be to get his attention." He cleared his throat. "And that worked with other guys?" "Other clients?" I clarified. There was a difference between guys I liked and guys I worked with. "It usually works, yes." He let out a deep breath. "Oh, okay. And I'll only kiss you if we need to seal the deal," I told him. "Kinda like the make-or-break kiss. He either won't care, or he'll let me know he didn't appreciate my touching you. But if I do kiss you, you'll need to trust me that it's because Eli's watching and warring with himself about coming over. Just go along with it." His eyes were wide. "Oh." I almost laughed. "We don't need to practice kissing," I added. "Unless you want to." He snorted, and a blush crept up his neck. I think I'm familiar with how it works. Though I've only had to kiss one client once. Most of the time a well-placed hand and whispering in your ear will do the trick. "Like this," I said, letting go of his hand so I could put my hand on his waist. On his hard, well-defined waist. "Jesus, what you got going on under that shirt?" He blanched. "What?" I gave his side a squeeze. "You're like ripped or something." He jumped and grabbed my hand with a laugh. "Ah ha ha ha!"
"You're ticklish," I asked, laughing with him. "Good to know." His cheeks were red, but he was still smiling, and the serious mood between us was broken. I didn't know whether to be grateful or disappointed. I shook myself out and took a deep breath. "Okay, serious again." He looked at me weirdly. "What was it like when you kissed that guy?" "My client?" He nodded. "To be honest, it was awkward," I admitted. "I didn't really like him, so it wasn't natural, if that's what you mean." "You didn't like him?" "I mean, he wasn't my type." He nodded. "Did it work?" he asked. "Did it get his ex's attention?" "It sure did. Like I said, I'm good at what I do." He bit his bottom lip and looked away. Eventually, he nodded as though he'd come to some conclusion in his head. "If you want to draw the line at something, please, just say," I told him. "If me kissing makes you uncomfortable, you have to tell me. Ultimately, it all comes down to you. You're the boss here." He took a while to answer, and I worried for a second he'd say no to the possibility of me kissing him or even touching him. I didn't know why that bothered me. Probably because he was so cute, he smelled so good, and his lips looked so damn kissable. "It's fine," he answered. Then he shook his head and chuckled nervously. "My God, this is weird." I breathed a sigh of relief, unable to stop from smiling. "Only if we let it get weird." He shoved his hands in his pockets again. "So, what do we do for the next few hours?" There was absolutely no reason for him to be here for the next few hours, at least. If it were anyone else, I would have bid him farewell and told him I'd call past his place at 7. But this was different. I didn't know why it was different, it just was. So instead of telling him to leave, I said, "How about you pick another record for us to listen to?" Then he had to go and pick Jeff Buckley's live LP, and I knew right then and there I was in trouble. Chapter 5. He sat on my papasan chair like a cat in the sun and listened to the vinyl recording of my most favourite album. I sat on the sofa with my laptop, trying to find what I could on Eli Masterson, but truthfully I was just watching Andrew. "So, Eli works 8 to 4, Monday to Friday?" I asked, trying to get my mind on the job. "Shush!" I blinked. He just fucking shushed me. "Really?" He grinned at me. "You can't talk while this is playing." Then he tilted his head a little and listened to Jeff Buckley sing. "Show a little respect to the man." "Oh, I respect Mr. Buckley." I threw a cushion at him. He caught the cushion and sank down a little in the papasan chair as he laughed, curling up all comfortable-like and smiling, still reading over the album cover and looking as though he belonged there. As though I wanted him to belong there. And that realization startled me. "What?" he asked. "You look like you swallowed a pill." I shook my head. "Nothing, no, it's all good." Trying to get my heart rate back to